Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
So you guys are in the midst of a sermon series in the book of John, going through the signs in John that point to the Messiah. Today we're going to take a little break from that, but we're going to stay within the theme of Lent. But before we dive into the scripture readings today, I'd ask that you do a little exercise with me. It might be a little bit unique for what you're used to, but please bear with me. I'd ask that all of you close your eyes. And I want you to think of the word surrendering. Close your eyes and think of the word surrendering. I want to ask you, what emotions come to mind as you think of the word surrendering? I want you to keep your eyes closed, please, and now think of the word or the phrase giving up. What emotions come to mind when you think of giving up? All right, thank you. So when I did this exercise and I thought of the word surrender or surrendering, came to mind to me was waving that white flag, perhaps in a military sense. And the emotions that that gives to me are being defeated, or perhaps feeling a sense of dread. Are we able to put these slides, these on the back monitor? No? Okay. All right. I'll turn around. The emotions, like I say, that generates are feeling defeated, feeling perhaps even embarrassed, downtrodden. And when I think of giving up, March Madness, the first thing I think of as a basketball fan is dribbling out the clock, right? The victors are dribbling out the clock, and the defense can't do anything about it. No more fouls, no more steals will give them a chance to win the game. Or in football, when the victors go into the victory formation, right? They kneel down and they've got the victory in hand, and there's nothing that the defense can do about that. So my point is that when we think in today's society of the term surrender or surrendering, a society where winning is important, where competition is important, where achievement is important, I don't think the idea of surrendering or giving up is necessarily a positive idea, or I don't think it necessarily comes naturally to us here in America. I want you to hold on to that point. Hold on to the point that surrender or surrendering isn't necessarily a natural idea. So we're in the season of Lent. We're 3.5 weeks in. 3.5 weeks from when Ash Wednesday occurred, and now 3 weeks, 3 weeks until Easter. Halfway through. And I did a little research, a little background on Lent. So in the second century church was the first time there was anything that resembled Lent. The early church celebrated a two-day fast before Easter. But it wasn't until the year 325 AD at the Council of Nicaea that the day for Easter was officially established. And with that, they also established a 40-day fast period. 3 centuries later, then, Ash Wednesday was established. And traditionally, in the season of Lent, the early church started to decide to give something up during Lent. Now, in today's day and age, our Lutheran and Catholic friends tend to do that more so than perhaps what we do. And I'll tell you what, I'm north of 50. In my years, I haven't necessarily chosen to give anything up for Lent. But for whatever reason this year, the Holy Spirit really weighed on my heart to give something up for this season of Lent. So starting Ash Wednesday, I did. And I'll tell you what, it's been a great experience. Because for whatever reason, it's caused me to really reflect on God's will and surrendering to God's will. And I had you go through that exercise earlier because that's how I'm made up. That's what makes me up. I resist giving up. I resist that concept of surrendering. In fact, I'm typically a guy that either says no or maybe, if it's convenient, before perhaps surrendering to God's will. So that's what prompted me for today's message, titled Surrender. As we know, Lent is a season of preparedness for the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we are in the midst of Lent, I'd like us to ponder what it means to surrender to God's will. Let's go to our first scripture reading today. It comes from Psalm 40, verses 4 through 8. It says, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you've planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire. You did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll, I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart." So this is a Psalm of David. And I want you on the next slide to see that the shift from the law of Moses to what appears to be a new law. You see that David is identifying that sacrifice and offering of the Mosaic law was not enough. Because with that comes a repetitive process or a repetitive act that perhaps doesn't generate necessarily that sense of obedience, that sense of following God's will. And David says that, doesn't he, in verse 8, "I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart." And then as we shift to our New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 10, the writer in Hebrews says, "Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said," these words will look familiar, "sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God." The Hebrews writer continues on and he says, "First, he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law. But then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will." You see, he sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. I'd like to pull out in that passage the first phrase in verse 5, again, highlighting sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. I have come to do your will, my God. And then in verse 9 and 10, he sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. You see, here the words of David are now attributed to Jesus. Again, it's emphasizing a shift from that repetitive sacrifice that was commanded by the Mosaic Law, and that shift to that final sacrifice, that final sacrifice we talked about earlier, carried out by our Lord Jesus on the cross. A sacrifice that is once and for all. And what does it do? It makes us holy. It makes us righteous in the Father's eye. It's carried out by Jesus, doing the Father's will, being fully obedient. And after all, as we're learning in that series on John, that was Christ's purpose as the Messiah. So again, David's words become Jesus' words. David's psalm is ultimately Jesus' words. It's a prophecy, perhaps, about the coming Messiah. It's talking about that last replacement that's necessary. You see, on the cross, what happened? A transfer occurred. On the cross, a transfer occurred. Our sins were transferred to Christ, and Christ's righteousness was transferred to us. And on that cross, he was forsaken, ignored, separated from the Father, so that he could be an atonement for our sins and our unrighteousness. Jesus was doing the Father's will. So now let's look to Jesus' words himself. In Luke 22, we read, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you do not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer, he went back to the disciples. He found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall in temptation. In this short passage, Jesus, through his words and actions, gives his apostles and us direction on living a life in him. First, he tells them to pray. He tells them to pray not once, but twice. He tells them to pray to not fall into temptation. You see, he knows how difficult it's going to be for them to follow his will. He knows that Peter will deny Jesus three times. He's given us a model for our prayers. Secondly, he's given us a model for our prayers. We note in verse 22 that Jesus prays first for what he desires. Father, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Jesus knew what was coming up, what was going to happen. his first prayer was, "Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. Don't make me have to go through this, Father." And then, however, what does he pray? "If you are willing, yet not my will, but yours, Father, be done." You see, I view this as instruction to us. It's okay to pray. In fact, he models us to pray for what we desire. Now, I don't necessarily mean desiring a new truck, but desiring to be healed. Desiring to reconcile a relationship that perhaps is broken within your family or within your friend group or within perhaps your church. A desire to make things go better at work. But then it comes with a second part. Right? It comes with a second part. It comes with, "But your will be done," or "if you are willing." Jesus on the cross knew what he was going to face and why. He knew what was coming. He knew why he was doing it, that he was going to be that ultimate blood sacrifice. He knew that he was going to experience anguish. You know, a while back I preached a sermon on being forsaken. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? For whatever reason, that struck me these past 12 months. The anguish that he must have felt, because being forsaken means being forgotten. Being forsaken means being separated. At that moment on the cross, Jesus Christ did not feel his Father's presence. That moment on the cross, Christ was completely separated from him. Think of the anguish that must have felt. He, of course, knew the pain physically, but he also knew the emotional pain. Not only the emotional pain he would experience, but mostly for his apostles and for his family. And of course, there's dread. Dread knowing that they would have to go through 3 days of not having him present. He knew for his friends and his apostles that they would feel pain. They would feel the pain of what's next. We thought he was the Messiah. He's dead. He's no longer here. What's going to happen next? They felt forsaken by Jesus. Everything they had seen and heard felt as if Jesus was, in fact, the Messiah. And here he is. He's gone. And, of course, the grief of losing their rabbi, their teacher, their friend, their counselor. But ultimately, as we say, Jesus models to us to pray, to ultimately ask the Father's will be done. Because that's what he prayed in the garden. He models that not only to his apostles, but to us. Paul says that on the cross, we are crucified with Christ. We're no longer we live, but Christ lives in us. That we've crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. That we died with Christ. What does this mean? It means our sinful, self-centered focus is replaced by Christ in us. That our flesh, its passions, its desires are killed. They died with Christ. Instead, we have a new heart, a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. We are a new creation, wanting to serve and fulfill God's will, not our will, which is the world's will. So let me ask, are we surrendering to God's will? You see, this Lenten season, I realized something which ended up being pretty profound for me. Perhaps all of you already knew this, that surrendering isn't a choice. Because if we aren't surrendering to God's will, we're surrendering to the will of the world. So the question I have is, are we surrendering to someone small s? Or are we surrendering to someone capital S? You see, we need to make a choice. If we're not surrendering to the Father, if we're not surrendering and responding to that Christ sacrifice on the cross, believing in Him and its transformative power, by default, we're making another choice. We're making the choice of the world. So my challenge today is, practically speaking, how are we spending our time? Are we spending our time reading the Word daily? Are we spending our time in prayer every single day? Are we spending time with one another? Seeing Him, serving Him, learning about Him, and making that a priority? And are we, in fact, sharing the good news? The good news of Jesus Christ with one another and with others. At work, I ask you, how can we spread His word to our coworkers? Are we throwing the seed of the gospel out every single day when we go to work? Of that gospel message, are we doing it appropriately and boldly? Or, when we walk out those doors, do we kind of check church and the gospel at the door and not take it with us when we walk through the door of our vocation and our work? And parents and grandparents and maybe any great-grandparents, are we teaching our children and grandchildren the gospel? Are we praying for them and their salvation daily? And finally, are we doing and understanding our calling to serve, not only here at Westview, but also Christ Church, capital C, across the world? I can't tell you how excited I am that you guys are taking a trip to Abaco, Bahamas, that you are sending a group there. I've been there twice. And when you hear the word Bahamas, I'm sure most of you kind of went, what? That's a tourist spot, right? This island, folks, was decimated in 2019 by a hurricane. A hurricane, they measure hurricane stages 1 through 5. This one qualified as a 6. 200 plus mile an hour winds for multiple days rested over that island. It's like a nuclear weapon went off on that island. They are 6 years post, and they are maybe 30% rebuilt. I highly recommend that trip. Highly recommend that trip. That's a way to serve the church, capital C. Let's go back to that Luke passage. In the garden, Jesus foretold the challenges that we would face us. Two times He told us to pray to overcome the temptation, to follow the will of the world. What happened? The apostles, they fell asleep. They took a break. I encourage all of us, let's follow Jesus' instructions. Let's pray for the strength, wisdom, and perseverance and the desire to surrender our will to the will of the Father. And I want you to note that when Jesus prayed, an angel came to him. And he strengthened him. Did you see that? An angel, verse 42. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. My brothers and sisters in Christ, when we pray, the Holy Spirit will strengthen us. I pray that we surrender to the Father together. But I ask you, what do you need to surrender? To our daddy, to our papa, to our Abba. Is it a painful memory? Is it a shame that you feel that ultimately you don't know that God can truly love you? Is it a negative self-message? Perhaps it's a grudge or a hurt between friends or family members or church members. I encourage all of us to surrender whatever is getting in the way with our relationship with our God. You see, surrendering in this case is a good thing. Waving the white flag in this case is a good thing. Not only it's a good thing, it's a great thing. It's the only thing. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I am so thankful for Westview Church. I'm thankful for all the people here. I'm thankful for what their mission is. I'm thankful for what they do in this community, not only through their service to the young people with their preschool, but also everything else. I'm thankful for their pastor's leadership and their staff's leadership and their board's leadership. I'm humbled with the opportunity to be able to share your word today. Father God, I ask that you bring blessings to everyone here today. As they go out into the world, you know that they and we and I will be faced with temptation. And you modeled it so well, asking us to pray for the strength, knowing that you were sending the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to strengthen us as we go out and do your will daily, hourly. And all the people said, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.